Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org. From the Barton Worley studios of Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. Good afternoon, I'm Blaine Singletary, and thank you for joining us for today's Great Conversations edition of Ion Entertainment. Today we're taking a look back at some of the more memorable conversations we've had on the show in the past 3 years. We'll listen again to Betty Huckel, who tells us about the work that goes into putting together a year's worth of films in the Paramount film series. Also, the annual production of A Mall and the Night Visitors is becoming an Abilene Christmas tradition. We speak with Rick Pearsall as he was preparing to put the show on for the first time. And we listen again to our very own Justin Brown, who aside from being our broadcast budget assistant, is an avid cyclist, and he talks about how he was preparing for Buffalo Gap's annual Tour de Gap bike race. That's coming up in today's Great Conversation special in Ion Entertainment. For decades, the Paramount film series has entertained thousands of Abilenians who've come to enjoy the glory days of American cinema. It may not seem like it, but a lot of work goes into tracking them down, some from 35mm prints. We spoke to Betty Huckel last New Year's Eve, as we were getting ready to go into another year of classic films with the Paramount film series. Ms. Huckel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Blaine.
Well, since the series started, a lot of people have looked forward to these monthly movies. How did this idea for a film series come about?
Well, we've been having classic films now since the Paramount reopened in 1987, and Abilene has embraced this kind of viewing to be able to go into an elegant and historic setting and watch films on a giant screen. It's sort of in trade for what we have now in terms of a little bit more comfortable seating with lots of cup holders. The Paramount's not equipped with that, but you do take a step back in time and kind of experience what people have since films began.
But how do you go about getting some of these classic restorations? You mentioned you were getting some 35mm prints, some digital remasters. How do you go about finding these?
Well, you know, it's like a treasure hunt. It is not always easy, and our artistic director, Barry Smoot, does a fabulous job of ferreting out these prints. It's almost like musical chairs in the distribution business. The films continue changing ownership, and so what will be Sony one week will have traded off to Warner Brothers the next, and so we have kind of a little trail that we have to follow to get there. Barry has been in the business now for close to 20 years, and so he's had some real good rapport with a number of these distributors, and they're very good about telling us where to go for our next clue as to where to find them. And we've been very fortunate this year to be able to secure what we've asked for. There have only been a few on our list that are not available, and that happens to us every year. We have a much longer list of wants than we have what we can actually show, because it depends on not being able to find the print, or one is they've taken it out of circulation because they're working on a restoration, or we just can't find it. We just don't know where it is. So it's a challenge.
And finally, what would you say is the main draw of the Paramount film series?
Well, I would have to say I believe it's the Paramount itself. The fact you can go out and get these films and rent them, you know, through Netflix or at the video store, or you can buy them. But there's nothing quite like going into that particular building, smelling the popcorn, and watching a film on the big screen with other people. The psychology of hearing other people laugh or hearing them sniffle, because there are some films that are very touching, and it's kind of nice to have that collective emotion. But I believe that it's the ambiance of the theater itself, and the fact that there's really nothing else around here like it. You know what to expect when you go. So we really pride having quality entertainment that people can count on, and at an affordable price. And so, but reality is that it's the best popcorn in town, and that's probably why everybody goes. So they want to get the popcorn.
And we're only halfway through this year's selections of the Paramount film series. To find a complete schedule and more information about the series, paramount-abilene.org. People love Christmas so much that stores and various other organizations like to hold Christmas in July themed events. Well, it is July, so what better time to look at an up-and-coming Abilene Christmas tradition? For a couple of years now, Rick Pearsall has been directing A Mall and the Night Visitors with the ACU Opera in various locales throughout Abilene. We spoke with Rick Pearsall a few days before it was set to go on stage for the first time. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, as I mentioned, this is a pretty well-known opera, but some of our younger listeners might not have heard of it. Fill us in a little bit on this opera.
Yeah, this is the very first opera written for American television. NBC commissioned Giancarlo Menotti to write this opera. It was first done in 1951 and ran every year at the Christmas season till 1966. NBC also made one in 1978, which ran for several years into the 80s before A Mall was finally taken off the air. So some of the grandparents and parents out there will have seen A Mall as a young adult or a child as they grew up. A Mall is just a fabulous Christmas story.
So it's in time for the season? It's a Christmas
story? Yes, yeah. It's actually the first, it's the journey of the three wise men to see the young Christ child, and they happen to spend the night on the way there with a widow mother who has a young crippled boy. And during the opera, during the scenes that follow, there's a lot of fun, laughter, even some tears. And as Menotti envisions it, this is Christ's first miracle through a gift of sacrifice from a mall. And it's a wonderful story, full of faith and enjoyment. It's just a great, great story, and we hope to bring it to the audiences here.
Now, it says you do plan on turning this into an Abilene community tradition, I guess much like NBC did on television. Tell us about that. What do you plan to do with this in the coming years?
Well, what we plan to do is this first performance at the University Church of Christ will be a benefit performance, serving a local charity that the church picks. And hopefully, every Christmas season, every Advent season, we will be able to select a new church in which to perform our first A Mall as a benefit performance for their charity for the homeless, to feed the hungry right here in Abilene, which is one of the major points of the opera, is that we need to take care of our own widows and crippled children that are right here. And this is a perfect way for us to do it.
Since this was an often performed show, at least back in the day, how is your cast making this show their own?
The students have done a lot of work on their characters, and the students have done a really great job of figuring out exactly how the drama works. There's some really wonderful performances in this show.
So finally, what would you say is the main draw of this show?
Beautiful music, wonderful costuming, the perfect opportunity to get your children involved in opera at an early age, and just a fun show for the whole family, G-rated, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to get ready for the coming Christmas season. It was a Christmas tradition in the United States, and we hope to bring that to Abilene.
And so far it has succeeded in becoming a Christmas tradition in Abilene. Its first 2 years running have been strong, with mostly positive reception. And as the real Christmas season approaches, you can definitely count on us to bring you the scoop on this year's production. Switching gears now back into summer, we're taking a look at a conversation with one of our own. Justin Brown is an avid cyclist and our former broadcast budget assistant. He has since moved on to become a research analyst for the Horizon team at Abilene Christian University. We spoke to him last year as he was gearing up for Buffalo Gap's annual Tour de Gap bike race. Mr. Brown, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Blaine.
Now, you were also a competitor in last year's Tour de Gap. In fact, we talked to you back then as well. How did you do at that race?
I did pretty well. I believe I came in around 10th or 11th in the 52-mile race, which isn't nearly as competitive as the 77-mile. That's when the really fast people usually ride that route. But I did okay, and I had a great time. Really enjoyed the scenery out there and rode as hard as I could.
Now, you've been in, as you were mentioning, many races, triathlons since then. How does this particular race, the Tour de Gap, compare to those?
I love that area of Abilene. Well, it's actually in Buffalo Gap and south of Abilene. I think that's one of the best places to ride. It's very pretty down there, very hilly. It's perfect for riding your bike. Last year, I really enjoyed, you go, I guess, down 83, and then you cut over on a road I can't remember, and you come back on the 277. And that 52-mile route, the 77 also does that loop, and then they do an additional loop. But that route, it's just very pretty down there. I always enjoy riding through Tuscola and just down that direction. And then there's some hills that are pretty tough. But that area just is kind of known for its little rolling hills and beautiful terrain.
And this race also attracts a lot of other serious bikers as well. In fact, you were saying many from Lubbock came all the way down here to compete.
Yes. They're... In these kind of events, in the 77-mile route, you've got teams. In cycling, when you get to a certain performance level, you kind of have to form teams of allies, and so you'll be able to kind of draft off each other and stuff. And so there's a group out of Lubbock and a group out of Midland that seem to come every year that are very fast and typically either win or right up there in the top 10. And so it's always fun. We also have an Abilene group that's very fast also.
And what would you say is the main draw of the Tour de Gap?
The Tour de Gap, in my experience, has been very well organized. Bike Town, Jim and Kelly McDonald have been instrumental in making this Tour de Gap race just go very smoothly, and wonderful sponsors with the Food Bank of West Central Texas. And so the Tour de Gap, I said, people from Lubbock and Midland come here to race. It's a well organized race, and it's timed. Every competitor, even on the 11-mile route, will have a timing chip that they'll put on their shoelaces or ankle, and that way you can get your official time. And so it's just a very well-run race in a very beautiful countryside, and it's always a joy to do. I'm looking forward to doing this race for many years to come.
My bike is fast, and my legs are strong, and I'm thinking about selling my car.
And registration is open for this year's upcoming Tour de Gap. For more information, tourdegap.wordpress.com. And that's all for this installment of our Great Conversation series for the summer. A reminder, though, we want to know what conversations you would like to hear again. Tell us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/IonEntertainmentRadio or our Twitter username at EOEKACU. Anything from before the start of this calendar year is fair game. Even if you don't remember the name of the guest or just remember certain aspects of it, such as what it was about, the event covered, or anything like that, go ahead and suggest it, and we might be able to find out what you're talking about. So please let us know for our Great Conversations Listener's Choice episode coming up in the beginning of August. Ion Entertainment is a production of Abilene Public Radio and the JMC Network. The show is recorded and produced at the Barton Worley Studios in the Don Morris Building on the campus of Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and as long as there are great conversations to be had, I'll have my eye on entertainment. Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org.